And good afternoon, folks. My name's Craig, and this is the Over the Fence show here on Raglan Community Radio 98.1 FM. And, of course, going over to our friends on Free FM 89.0 throughout the Waikato. Also, hope you're having a lovely day out there. Beautiful spring day, very warm. Very nice day out there today. And later on, or pretty soon, actually, our guest is already in the studio. Kate Derma is here. She's going to be talking about the gardening to table program she's involved with. Before that, though, we're going to do some primary sector headlines. We'll do some weather and we'll do some gardening to-dos, which I might actually try and get Kate to do. But firstly, while I get the headlines organised, I want to play for you a song. I can't remember why we started talking about it last night, but Paul, who does the fabulous Friday Freak Zone show from 2:30 to 5 on Fridays, I got chatting to him at the pub last night at the quiz night about the band The Small Faces, and I always wondered what happened to them because they have some great songs. So, and yeah, he was telling me that they sort of broke up and went in different bands and all this sort of thing. And then Steve Merriott, the main guy out of the band, accidentally fell asleep while he was smoking a cigarette and burned his house down once. And then he did it another time, but unfortunately didn't get out in time, so died that way. So there we are. There's a bit of background on Steve Merriott, which was I found interesting anyways. And so here's Tin Soldier, but a classic rock start the show. Was The Small Faces there with Tin Soldier. goes out to Paul, that one, Friday Freak Zone show host. And primary sector headline time now, and the Waikato Regional Council has said that Waikato landowners have retired the equivalent of 21 average-sized farms on unproductive land and planted over 3 million trees in the last 5 years. Grant Blackie, the Waikato Regional Council, Waikato and West Coast Catchment Manager, said they have assisted 18,023 landowners in the last 5 years, with 80% of the work funded undertaken in prioritised catchments, like in the Waipa Zone, through the Ministry of Primary Industries Hill Country Erosion Fund and 1 Billion Trees Fund. Good on your farms out there. Mount Cook Alpine Salmon has announced it will construct the country's first land-based salmon farm. The project was launched this week in Twizel, and Chief Executive David Cole said the new farm would at least double the company's annual production to between 6,000 and 8,000 tonnes of fish and would aim to have zero waste. Cole added perhaps a wasabi farm, which is a good pairing for salmon, will help purify the water used before going through wetlands and back into the lakes. So that's an interesting one. I guess it's going that way. Further on that article was something like 25% of salmon's going to be from land-based farms in the next 20 years or something like that. It's an initiative anyway. And the next phase of the Mycoplasma bovis response began this week with the Ministry of Primary Industries announcing a controlled area in the Wakanui area near Ashburton around an infected property. In May, one property was infected, but since then, three other properties have tested positive, with a fourth expected to be announced soon. And a Canterbury chorizo salmon has taken the Supreme Award of the New Zealand Food Awards this week. The company Puaka breeds Tamworth, Berkshire and Wessex saddleback pigs, which are grown on pasture before being finished on acorns and sweet chestnuts to give the salami the flavour. So lucky old piggies. And Groundswell are planning a protest for midday tomorrow to protest against the government's agricultural emissions pricing plan we talked about last week. Groundswell claim that emissions pricing will lead to food scarcity, higher food prices and more productive land going into pine trees. So how big will that be? Difficult to say, but I don't know. Time will tell. And that's basically the headlines for this week anyways. And now I'm going to play for you some old school blues from like the 1920s. Mississippi John Hurt with the Spike Driver Blues, all about John Henry.
Down. You know, I really heard what the first thing I thought was with John Henry's house. My captain, oh, tell him I'm gone. Won't you tell him I'm gone? John Henry, he left his camel, plain side the road, plain side the road. And carry it to my captain. Yes, tell him I'm gone. Won't you tell him I'm gone? This is the hammer that killed
John Henry, but it won't kill me. No, it won't kill me. Colorado, honey, that's my home. Well, that's my home. That's why I'm gone. You just take this hammer and carry it to my captain. Oh, tell him I'm gone. Won't you tell him I'm gone?
John Hurt there with Spike Driver Blues. It was about John Henry, who, of course, Woody Guthrie also had a song about John Henry. I don't know much about the guy, but maybe I should look into it. That's where the time anyways here on the Over the Fence show. And a front moves onto the lower South Island later this afternoon or evening, bringing rain or showers with southwesterlies in the west and easterlies to nor'easterlies in the east. Following lots of thunderstorms in the South Island yesterday, today most of New Zealand will be warmer and less cloudy, which will increase the risk of frost in inland parts of both the North and South Islands till about Friday or maybe Saturday. And for the long weekend, of course, most people are having a long weekend. New Zealand will be mostly dry and is expected to be, mostly dry for the rest of October, as a matter of fact. So, yes. I hope that's not a sign of a really dry summer coming up. But anyways, and coming out of the world's deepest storm at the moment, which is in Antarctica with 900 hectopascals, Australia's deluge is expected to continue with another 100 mils expected in New South Wales, Queensland, and more heavy rain for South Australia and Victoria. In the Waikato, mostly sunny with a few showers possible. Doesn't really look like it out there today, does it, Kate? No? No, she shakes her head? some showers are possible tomorrow and Friday. Finding up for the weekend, then getting cloudy into next week. Daytime temperatures somewhere between 15 and 18 degrees this week. And nighttime temperatures between 11 and 12, except for Friday and Saturday, which are expected to be 7 and 9 degrees. Winds are southwesterly today. West southwesterly tomorrow. Southerly Friday. South southwesterly Saturday. Southwesterly from Sunday into next week. And the humidity today is somewhere between 63 and 69%. And the sun rose this morning at 6:30 a.m. and will set at 7:41 p.m. The length of visible light is 14 hours and 4 minutes. And the actual day length is 13 hours and 9 minutes. And tomorrow will be 2 minutes and 20 seconds longer than today. And the moon, ladies and gentlemen, is a waning crescent, somewhere between 32 and 39% illuminated. Will rise at 3:28 a.m. and set at 1:07 p.m. with the new moon coming up on the 25th. And the rainfall this week, Craig up in Tuhutoa had 12 mils, thank you Craig. And Callum at Three Streams had 11 mils, thank you Callum. And I didn't get a hold of Chris, which I should have, but anyways. There's your weather, and we'll come back some gardening to do's after this one by David Kilgore called When You Hit the Ground Running, which was released 2 years ago.
Sky and all my yesterday's fly, catching birds and fly, stoking fires at night, catching birds and fly is only in for the gold, for the gold. Drive the car back to town when you hit the ground running. I'm acting out an idea. There's no black and white, even here or there. Love goes on in spite of all. Love goes on in spite of it all. Angels play with fire. Angels play with light. Angels play with pride. Down like fog. start comes up, you come down like fog. I don't know where to step. You come down like God, kick the darkness down, make him hear while it shines. Long road, but I'm traveling fast. I put my hand in the sky, all my yesterdays fly. Angels play with fire. Angels play with light.
That was David Kugel there with his, I think it's his latest release, I think, actually, When You Hit the Ground Running. And now it's time to do some gardening to-dos. And if you're gardening by the moon, ladies and gentlemen, it's a good time to remove spent winter crops and make hot compost. Also apply organic caterpillar spray if needed. You heard of that one, Kate?
I have heard of that one.
Organic caterpillar spray? Yeah. Have you made it before?
No.
Okay. Anyways, here we go. And from Tuesday, the new moon period, plant out celery and silver beet and spinach. Also herbs like parsley, coriander and dill, and the Mediterranean herbs like basil, thyme and oregano. Oregano, all right. And to plant this month in the Waikato, grab a pen and a big bit of paper, folks. At least some apricots, asparagus, basil, beans, beetroot, blackberries, blueberries, bok choy, broccoli, cabbage, calendula, capsicums, carrots, cauliflower, celery, chilies, chrysanthemum, coriander, cosmos, courgettes, cucumber, dahlia, daisy, dianthus, eggplant, feijoas, fuchsia, gubera, gladiolus, and patiens, kumara, lavender, leeks, eggplant, feijoas, lemons, lettuce, lily limes, mandarins, marigold, mesclun, oranges, pansy viola, parsley, parsnip, passion fruit, petunia, poppy, potatoes, pumpkin squash, radish, raspberries, rhubarb, rocket rose, silver beet, snapdragon, spinach, spring onions, strawberries, sweet peas, sweet corns, tomatoes, and watermelon.
You could be a rapper after that, mate.
Thanks, Kate. And now Kate is going to read out from the Gardening to Table planning calendar.
Yeah, what do you got there, Kate? We've got a gardening calendar, which is all about getting the kids into the garden as well. So this might be valuable for you, obviously, as well as your children. But try growing tomatoes in hanging baskets if you're running out of room in your garden bed like I am. Feed your garlic and cucurbits. Plant sunflowers as catch crops for passion vine hoppers and green vegetable bugs. So if you're saving seeds to sow, be careful that they are not F1 hybrids. Protect strawberries from birds so you can increase your soil temperature with cloches and covers. Now is a good time to sow your summer salads. Feed your passion fruit and hunt for snails. You can measure your soil temperature and do some soil testing with the kids. Plant your corn seedlings, tomatoes, pumpkins for upside down Halloween. So I know Halloween's coming up, but I guess at Garden to Table we're talking about the upside down Halloween, which means using up all your sort of last year's pumpkin harvest and sowing your pumpkins for this year. So we've sort of divided up into seeds to sow and seedlings to plant out. So the seeds to sow are brassicas, broad beans, carrots, lettuce, radishes, silver beet, spinach, and in late October, the dwarf and climbing beans, cucumbers, courgettes, eggplants, and pumpkins. Seedlings to plant out are lettuces, tomatoes, and capsicums, courgettes, cucumbers, chilies, eggplants, tomatoes, and kumara. That's kind of later in October. So I would be putting those seeds maybe in punnets at the moment so you can plant them out later when they've popped up.
Comprehensive, Kate. You want to come in every week and do this? Thank you, Kate. And that information there is on the Gardening to Plate website?
Yeah. It's from Garden to Table, yeah.
Garden to Table, sorry. Yeah. Okay. So there we are. That's an extended gardening one for you there. And now I'm going to play a Beat Rhythm Fashion New Zealand band, a song they put out. They were around like in the early 80s, but this one came out in 2019 called Hard as Hell. Thanks, Mike, from the Community House for this one, actually. Thank you.
selling drugs.
Beat Rhythm Fashion there with Hard as Hell from 2019. And now it is time some public service announcements here. Aaron hasn't been here all week. He's I spoke to him briefly this morning. He's starting to lose his voice today. But, of course, this weekend is the Raglan Arts Weekend. And there's a heap of stuff happening around. That one, I know Chris Meek's got his thing going on Cross Street. Caleb also and a bunch of other artists are doing a thing at the Scout Hall. I'm actually going to interview on Friday morning. I'm going to be interviewing Caleb and Tess Skirman, who's a painter, and possibly Holly, who's a musician. And tomorrow morning, Rodrigo from the Musical Journey show is going to be in here at 9 o'clock, and he's going to be interviewing Sarah Bing about clay and Lester Silva, who's a sitar player. So that'll be tomorrow morning about 9 o'clock. Rodrigo will be doing that one. Then I'll be on Friday morning. Did a few more interviews, but yeah, there's a lot happening all around town, and of course the Old School Arts Centre, there's already something there. It's been there for about a week or so, just you know, various bits and bobs from various artists. So yep, it'll be heaving over the weekend. So yes, the Raglan Arts Weekend, this weekend, I think it starts Friday, most of the stuff, and runs right through to Tuesday, I guess. What else is happening? There's a treaty workshop on the 5th of November. Here in the town hall in the supper room, and yeah, I went to the first one and it was really good, more interesting than I thought it would be, to be honest, and the lunch was excellent. So I think there's a few spots left 5th of November for that one. And of course on Friday the Whangarei Talent Factory was here, and it was a massive success. There would have been about 200 people, that's probably not counting the kids up the front on the mats and that, so that was yeah, it was really great, good vibe. So, yeah, congratulations to Aaron and Mike from the Community House and the crew from the Yard doing that one, Naomi, Brian. Well done, everybody. And the musicians are actually really good too. So, yep, well done, everybody, for that one. And the Whangarei Environment Centre right next door here through the entranceway from the Raglan Community Radio HQ sitting here at the front of the town hall. They, of course, have the Aroha stand at the front, so... It's as simple as picking up seeds, isn't it, Kate? Or you're busy doing something else. pick up seeds and then, yeah, chuck them in. They've got potting mix and stuff like that, and chuck them in the trays and then take them home, give them water, and et la. There you are. There's your some seeds for you to plant. And so, yeah, that's right next door. And also there's a bike maintenance workshop coming up on the 30th of October. That's through the Whanganui Environment Centre. And there's a Living the Change doco also they're going to do. But, yeah, check out their Facebook page, which I think is just WEC, WEC, on Facebook, and check those ones out. And also the Growers Market was also started on Friday. It's between 5 and 7 this year. And Jasmine was just telling me briefly before that there's about a couple hundred people there as well. So I would imagine there'd be more next week without so much other stuff going on around town. And what do we have here? There's a load of stuff coming up, folks. We got a Creative Business Ink Spillers Writers Collective workshop coming up on October the 8th on Saturday at the Old School. On the 27th of October is Rennie Pearson, traditional Celtic music player. Live and local, of course. I think this weekend, Ruth Power, Dolly and the Who's, and Kathy and the Music Lovers. And I think, yeah, I might be interviewing one of them, I think, maybe, on Friday. And, yes, the Treaty of Waitangi workshop. And also at the Yard this weekend is Christopher and El Truento and Lucky Longy or Lucky Lange or something like that. That's Saturday this weekend at the Yard from 6 till 11. $20, limited pre-sales. So there's stuff like that happening. And I haven't gone through the What's On guide, which is comprehensive, of course, on the Regular Community Radio website. At the moment, and so you look on there, that's a good place to look over stuff if you're looking for what's happening around town. But yes, we'll get more into that, and I'm sure Rodrigo will do a bit tomorrow, and I'll do a bit more on Friday with that one. And I think that's kind of it for anything else you can think of, Kate. Have I missed anything? Anything else you're aware of? Okay. All right, well, I haven't got a song teed up, so I'll better put one in quickly. I think we're going to listen to the Phoenix Foundation now with their song. Why don't we play Bob Lennon, John Dylan. Why don't we play that one? Bob Lennon, yes. So we're going to play, folks. So here we are, Phoenix Foundation, Bob Lennon, John Dylan.
All that I want to do.
Foundation with Bob Lynn and John Dylan. Now I'm going to play for you a Fabulous Arabia with their song called Henry, which is a mix between Mikey Fabulous, who's a producer, and Lawrence Arabia, who is actually going to be in Raglan in December, about mid-December, I think it is, so at the Yachty, I think it is. So yeah, get along with that one, folks. Here's Fabulous Arabia with their song Henry.
Henry, do do,
All right, folks, there we go. That was Fabulous Arabia, Mickey Fabulous and Lawrence Arabia, with their song they did together called Henry. I hope you enjoyed that one. And I think now we're going to have a chat to our guest, Kate, if you're ready. Afternoon, Kate.
Good afternoon.
How are you today?
I'm good.
Good, good, good. And Kate Dermer. Dermer McGregor or just Dermer?
Oh, Dermer McGregor, Dermer McGregor, whatever.
Yeah, all right.
Go by all of them.
All of these things. And we call worse things, no doubt.
Sure have.
And you are currently involved in the Gardening to Table program.
Yes.
We'll get to that in a bit. But firstly, you grew up on a farm in Cheltenham, a beautiful farm in Cheltenham, which is, tell people where Cheltenham are and tell the listeners all about the farm, Kate.
Okay, so I grew up on a farm called Waipiko in Cheltenham. It's a lovely place in the Manawatū. Craig has actually farmed on our farm for a bit, so he knows our farm intimately.
Beautiful place. Lots of different trees and heaps of them.
Heaps of different trees, yes. We were lucky enough to get the king visit us because of the trees and the ducks and all that sort of thing. So
he was there too.
Yeah, he was.
King Charles. Yeah. Wasn't he? Yes.
So, and my parents actually created a beautiful spot. Not just my parents, my grandparents. So it's a generational farm. It's sold now. But, I was lucky enough to grow up in a...
Beautiful soil. That's one thing I noticed coming from the clay around here. I mean, that soil down in that place was lush.
Mm.
You know?
Mm.
What was it, loam? Sandy loamy sort of stuff or... something like that?
Yeah. I'd have to ask my father, to be honest.
That was lovely.
I don't think growing up I spent a huge amount of time thinking about soil testing, but I did spend a lot of time just mucking around with lambs and calves and chickens and dogs and all that sort of thing.
Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you grew up there, and that was down in the Manawatū, of course. And was your mum always a keen gardener?
She was always in the garden, yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think she was always pottering in the garden.
Yeah.
I always remember her having huge strawberry beds. That was a passion of hers.
Nice.
And she passed on things that my grandfather taught her. You know, she talked about wrapping them up in plastic bags. You didn't have to water them, which I have never done. But
okay.
Yeah, she did all sorts.
Never heard of that one.
Yeah. So that was a grandfather trick, apparently.
Right. Nice, easy way to do it.
Yeah, put your seeds in the tray, water them, and then stick a plastic bag on. So it's like that little mini cyclical environment. She was always in the garden. So I guess that was just sort of part and parcel of growing up, you know.
So you would have followed around, no doubt.
Ate some strawberries, no doubt. Absolutely, yeah.
All right. Okay, and from there, and you were also, what were you doing, like an outdoor education thing or something, eh?
Oh, I've done all sorts of things.
Yeah, you've done heaps of
stuff.
Yeah,
I've done all sorts of things.
Yeah.
No one can keep up, really. Yes, I have been an outdoor instructor in the past.
Yes.
I always enjoy being outside.
That was working with youth, wasn't it, eh? If I remember.
I've worked with both. I've worked with everyone, really. I started off my career going and teaching in Korea.
Yes.
In South Korea, teaching English.
Fun.
That was the first thing I did after uni. And after that, I went and taught. I was at Sport Manawatū. Yes. Oh, no, I didn't. I went down to the South Island. That's where I got my first job. And that was teaching an outdoor education course for adults.
Okay.
And then I went on to teach.
Like rock climbing and stuff like that.
Basically, like everything from the risk management to then taking them out caving or whatever. You know what I mean? And tramping and all that sort of stuff. That was my very first job out of uni. And I was the youngest on the course and I happened to be the facilitator. But daunting.
Onto it.
Yep. Just daunting. Yeah. And then I did a youth one. So that was just getting youth into employment.
Okay.
I'll tell you a funny story.
All right.
So as soon as I'd finished that, I went from getting employed by WINS to, it's my only time I'm disclosing on the radio here. It's the only time I've ever been on the benefit. As soon as I finished that course, I went on the benefit. I was only on it for 2 weeks, but I did have a little chuckle to myself that I did that course and then had to go on it myself. And then I went to do other things, Sport 102.
Don't beat yourself up about it, Kate.
Yeah. So,
yeah. Okay. And from there, and you decided at some stage, obviously, you wanted to be a teacher?
Oh, that came way later. That came once I had
What am I missing out here then?
Well, children.
Right.
And the realities of needing a sort of a job which fitted with them.
Yeah.
So, yes, I went teaching. That was once Grace was well and truly on the ground.
So Dougal and Grace, how old now?
Grace is 14 and Dougal's 11.
Growing up.
Yeah, they've grown up. Yeah. So this was a wee while back. So I started my training when Grace was 1 year and 3 quarters.
Okay.
So they did my teacher training. which was cool.
So we went from the South Island anyways. We're getting ahead in the story here.
South
to Korea.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Korea, South Island, Manawatu, Hawke's Bay. And then I was an outdoor instructor and managed the programs for Backup New Zealand, which was people with able-bodied people and people with disabilities. I think you say disabled people now, but yeah. Back in the day it was people with disabilities. But anyway, it was a really cool course where we took people rock climbing and rafting and blow karting and stuff like that. So it was just basically teaching everyone that everyone's got something to give. Yeah. You know, something to contribute. So maybe their hands don't work, but they've got, you know, their powers of persistence was something to really go, someone looked at, you know, you could look up to, or just their vibe, just being really amazing. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Someone that you want to have on board. So everyone got stuff out of that course. It was incredible. So, yeah, from there, can't even remember what I did after that.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Outdoorsy.
Sort of. Yeah. And then maybe I came up here. I think that's when I moved to Raglan, and I worked at Adventure Waikato after that.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I was doing the administration and doing all that stuff. So, you know, throwing people off cliffs, not literally, but
yeah.
Well, with a rope.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
you know, abseiling and whatnot.
Yeah. And so how long have you been here then, Raglan?
Oh, I was working it out the other day. I think it's close to 18 years. I know, I feel old.
Yeah.
Oh, I moved to Raglan and here I am. I think there's a fair few people out there which are the same.
Yeah. It tends to happen in this town, doesn't it? People just come here and end up staying.
Yeah. It's a good place to be.
Guilty myself. okay. And so, okay, then you started having a family with your wonderful husband, Andy.
Yep.
Yeah. And then you started, oh, well, I'm going to be a teacher now then.
Yes. Yep. Yes. So I was a teacher. That was, what, 2010? And I think I finished that up in 2019.
Okay, that's like 10 years just about. Is that about right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Enjoy it?
Oh, I used to. Yeah, definitely. Definitely, probably, dare I say it, I think when I left, the most enjoyable part of the teaching was when I saw I think as a teacher, you always want to make it relevant. You always want to make it really relevant, and you want it to make it engaging, and you want the kids to enjoy it.
Mm.
And so much of it, and also you want to enjoy it. And like some of it I would enjoy, but some of it I wouldn't so much. So I guess I learnt through, I happened to be the Enviro lead teacher, and I happened to do Garden to Table and lead that as the lead teacher. And I just found that that was where I loved it the most, and the kids seemed to absolutely love it. And so there, it sort of was a natural progression.
So the Enviro Schools thing, is that like from the Ministry of Education or whatever it is nowadays?
Well, Enviro Schools is a bit like Garden to Table, where it's an approach that a school can take. So that's really about saying, if you're a school and you want to actually, and you want your children to care about the environment, you can, it started here, which is amazing.
In Raglan?
In Whangaroa. So I think it just started up the road at Te Maritau.
Okay.
If I'm right, I might, don't quote me on this.
Yeah.
But incredible program. And so Garden to Table fits within the umbrella of that program. The Enviro Schools program covers everything from tree planting to, looking at your water health and looking at how you build your buildings, if they're environmentally sustainable and friendly and all sorts of stuff, whereas Garden to Table obviously just takes over that gardening, cooking, soil health, composting,
regenerative.
There you go.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
That's the one I'm after.
All right. But you didn't go straight into that, did you? Because you were actually gardening for a job after you left teaching for a while, weren't you?
Oh, no, that was... Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah. Straight after, I just gardened.
Yeah.
That was great.
Okay.
It was perfect. Got to listen to heaps of radio, heaps of podcasts.
Yeah. And that was by yourself?
I spent many hours by myself just shoveling soil and planting, and I got the opportunity to plan and plant two different gardens. One was a early childhood centre.
Yes.
And it needed an overhaul. And another one was the birthing centre. So I got to sort of overhaul and plan and carry it out. And then
you enjoy that stuff? like planning and making this and that and everything?
Definitely enjoy the planning. Definitely enjoy the planting. Definitely, but when it comes to the maintenance, which is AKA weeding, not so much.
Yeah, it's a bit like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Weeding's not so much, heaps of fun.
No.
But there's ways around that. You know, maybe you're to let the weeds grow.
I'm sorry to alert all of your listeners. There's no way around it. If you're going to plant a garden, it takes maintenance.
Permaculture.
There is not a no maintenance garden. People say, "I want a low maintenance garden." It's like, yeah, good luck.
No, this is part of the thing. How do you make that enjoyable for yourself? Weeding.
I think just
looking at the start, and then when you finish, you're like, look at that, it looks heaps nice now.
Talk yourself into it, always planning the next thing, thinking, what am I going to do next? Or, you know, that's where the fun comes in for me anyway.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And so you did gardening for a little while, and then then suddenly you end up like gardening to the table. How that one happened?
Oh, a friend of mine just emailed me this advert that said, we're looking for a coordinator in the Waikato. And so she said, this is your perfect job. And I went, oh, cool. So it's working with teachers and working with students, which was always the most enjoyable part of my time at teaching.
Yeah.
And then obviously gardening. And I was like, well, these are my two passions. Boom. So
there you are.
Here I am.
All right. And how long has it been going for, Gardening to Table? Do you know much about the crowd?
Yeah. The background of Gardening to Table is that Catherine Bell, who's a well-known foodie in Auckland, she brought it back, or she brought it over, actually, from Australia, and that was over 12 years ago.
Okay.
And they did three pilot schools in the Auckland area. One of them my auntie was involved in, which was East Tamaki School.
Right.
So it's been going for a long time, and they piloted it in back in the day, the decile system. So decile 1, decile 5, and decile 10 school, which was basically saying a...
So is 10 the, the poverty, or is one the poverty kind of schools? I don't know. How do you say that properly?
The
lower socioeconomic schools.
One is the lower socioeconomic area.
Yep.
10 is the higher, highest.
Right. Gotcha.
So that was over 12 years ago. And so what's the nice thing about that is there's a lot of tried and true. It's been tested. You know what I mean? It's had the road test. So you've had a lot of people go through the program, and I like to call it the approach, maybe, but the program, whatever.
Yeah.
And actually iron out some stuff that doesn't work and figure out the stuff that does work. And so I guess if you sign up, which is what schools do at the moment, you actually get, this is what works, and you get support to make it work. And I think that's a huge thing for teachers that are out there trying to do their best, just having someone else coming in and going, you're doing a great job, and this is how I can help you, and yeah.
So, what, sort of like day to day, what you go to, like a school or something like that, and I have a chat to the teachers, and then, like, kids, now it's time to look. This is a, you know, I don't know, cabbage seed or whatever, and or something probably sexier like carrots because they're easy and tasty. And this is how you plant them, kids, and away you go, kind of thing. Is that how it works? Or?
Yep, I can do all of that. So, one minute I'm talking to teachers and we're planning in the planning stages. You know, we're talking around a table and talking about who's going to garden when, what classes are going to be involved, who's going to be in the garden, who's going to be in the kitchen. Funding is always a thing. Do you know what I mean? How the school's going to raise money for all that. One minute I'm doing that with a whole bunch of teachers and principals or the board of trustees.
Mm.
Yesterday I was in the garden with a whole bunch of kids and this amazing teacher, and I had my friend Lottie. She was volunteering, and we'd already done the planning for the garden, so we were putting these garden beds together, which were from Urban Mac, and who's a sponsor, and then just measuring out basically with these kids, and they were doing heaps of maths, and we were putting these garden beds in place, and actually they were so excited to then put the, you know, cardboard down and it fill them up with soil, and they were just loving it. And the cool thing is this teacher said, I've never seen these children, he's been at the school 2 months, he said, I've never heard the kids chat like that before, and I haven't heard them so happy. So yeah. I think that's a byproduct of Garden to Table, which I get filled up with. That makes me go, this is a really worthwhile thing for kids to do in school. Because I think that's what school's supposed to be. They're supposed to enjoy it.
Well, you think so.
You'd hope so.
Yeah. All right. And what's the whole thing to table then? There's the gardening side of it, and then...
Oh, okay. So the whole purpose is your garden to eat, right?
Yeah.
So the table bit is when you put the kai on the table and sit around and share it, and that's a really important aspect of Garden to Table. So we talk about the four po. So, yeah, and obviously the table bits when you're sitting around, and actually they've harvested their kai. Well, they've grown their kai, they've harvested their kai, then they take it and they cook it, and then they shear it. So
that's like at lunchtime or whatever, they'll cook a feed or make a salad or whatever.
No, it's actually part and parcel of the curriculum. So they might do it. You might find that on a Monday morning you've got, you know, 30 kids cooking and gardening, right, and then they're sharing their kai, so or food. So it could be on a Thursday afternoon. Because if you think about it yourself, like when you're gardening and when you're cooking, you're doing a hell of a lot of reading. You're doing a lot of maths. You're doing a lot of collaboration. So all those key competencies that are in the New Zealand curriculum, you just have to do those to make it work and to make it edible. And there's also a bit of, I think, a bit of art and flair when it comes to cooking. I'm sure chefs will agree. But it's that whole thing of, and they're learning all those valuable skills, like how to set a table, you know, table manners and sharing. And I think probably the nicest part about it is that to make a really awesome Garden to Table program come alive, it's not absolutely necessary, because you can use, you know, teacher aides and people within your school, but often they have volunteers coming in. So it's someone like yourself that might just say, okay, I'll put my hand up, I'll spend 90 minutes in the school with these kids, and you're either in the kitchen helping them or you're in the garden helping them. But everyone, whether or not you're in the garden or the kitchen, comes together, sits around and says a karakia, and then she is kai together. And I think it's that space that they have to have a yak and have a yarn. And then, you know, that's where I've actually always gone, wow, this is the coolest part of the program. It's not all the learning and not all the this is how far you plant this seed, or this is the way you, you know, do some soil testing, or this is a sorrel or radish or whatever. Mm. It's the chat around the table, and the kids go, like, you can see their, you know, shoulders come back and their chest puffs out, and they're talking to you about how they pushed a wheelbarrow around, and you know, and they learn from all the different volunteers that come in. It creates a bit of a community. It's cool.
All right, have you been doing this up at the area school here, or like what's a tuner or any one of those ones? Or
I would love to. So anyone at the area school, if you think it's important for your kids to grow and cook kai up on a regular basis, I would love to hear from you, because I think, there's been interest.
Good. Yeah. And is that part of your job as well, to like go to schools and say, oh, hey, man, you know, we're doing this, are you interested to be involved or anything like that? Or?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So if a school shows interest, and we've got Te Uku, who's a local school, their Garden to Table school, if a school shows interest, I'm totally happy to come and chat with them and say, okay, how's it going to work at your school?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's basically I'm sort of like the problem solver.
Right.
Well, they can troubleshoot with me, and I can go, okay, so this is how it works. This is what you need to think about, you know, and give them ideas.
Right. Yeah.
And I just get heaps of ideas from all the other schools. Basically, I'm no fountain of knowledge, unfortunately, but what I do have is connections.
You underestimate yourself, Kat.
So yeah, I can just say, here you go.
Yeah. All
think
right.
About this. This is how another school does it. This might work for you.
Yeah. And is it mostly, would you say, like country schools or like in the city and stuff as well? Or
I have got 23 schools, which are Garden to Table schools here in Waikato. And I mean all the way from Coromandel all the way down to Taupō. And most of them.
And up Thorny Fiddle even, I understand.
Yeah. And most of them are small rural schools.
Okay.
Yep.
Interesting.
I have got a few, like yesterday I was at Crawshaw, which is a big urban school in Hamilton.
All right,
So it's any school, but there's a lot of interest, and I think it is because they're so connected with the land.
That's my impression, but I haven't done a scientific
or I haven't done a survey about it, but that's just my, I'm thinking, that's what principals have told me.
Yeah. Mm. And I wonder if it's also like a disconnection, you know, connected to the land for sure, but like a connection with food as well, you know? Like maybe like rural kids or whatever, you know, there's lammy and, you know, that's going to be like a nice roast or something later on or whatever, you know. Or there's an apple tree and we'll eat some apples off that when the time's right or whatever. Whereas urban kids maybe don't make that connection between like food and things maybe as well. Making any sense?
No, you're totally making sense. I think that's exactly what principals have been telling me. And I think those, you know, calf club days, or what they're called ag days, and the children bring in, you know, they have chickens and they have eggs, and so you've got an excess of eggs, and eggs go in cooking, and you make an omelette, or you put them in baking or whatever. There's a natural connection, as you say. Yeah, they go and pick the, you know, lemons and go, okay, we can make lemon drizzle, or we can make a lemon cake, or we can make whatever.
Yeah.
There is definitely definitely more of a connection.
Interesting.
As a complete aside, I spent some time, as I said, in South Korea talking about a disconnect. Wow. You know, and I don't ever want New Zealand to get like this, where I was teaching in this school and they brought home tadpoles. And I said, what are you doing with the tadpoles? And they said, it's for an art exercise. Well, I said, well, they need to eat and they're going to turn into frogs. We're going to talk about the life cycle of a frog. And they said, no, it's just for an art exercise. And I said, I was a farmer, or grew up on a farm.
Yeah.
And they really looked down on me. It was like you were the lowest of the low if you grew up on a farm.
Right.
And the disconnect that I found with the teachers, not only the teachers but the children, with growth, you know, like where things come from, animals and food, I was astounded by, and I thought, I hope that New Zealand never gets like that.
Yeah.
You know, because it's so important.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
It's the essence of, like, soil health, our what we eat, you know, plants. It's just, it keeps us alive. Animals, you know what I mean? Like, anyway, that's a completely random aside.
I think, I don't know, man. I kind of feel like that. That is kind of growing a little in New Zealand at the moment, unfortunately, like the rural-urban thing. I think I was talking to someone about this the other day. It's like, because everybody like us, you know, either grew up on a farm but back in the days, and or either uncle or granddad or whatever was on a farm or whatever, but that's kind of not the case these days. And so I think there is that divide growing, and I think something like you're doing would maybe bring, I don't know, townie kids, for want of a better word, like more, okay, well, you plant a seed here and, you know, this is food, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think definitely Garden to Table has a huge part in that. And I think maybe even just COVID and lockdown and people being at home. And actually, dare I say, I think the price of veggies.
Absolutely.
And the price of dairy products and the price of food will actually drive people to go, maybe there's a faster, easier, better, cheaper way to do this. And, you know, and if they've got an old container, it's just a matter of filling it up with soil and growing some spinach or something. Do you know what I mean? Or so I don't think it's hard. I think it's just people being aware.
Yeah, well, I know, but personally anyway, man, if I'm not growing my own greens, I don't eat as many greens. It's as simple as that. You know, I don't think about going buying them at the shops or whatever, or buy a pie or whatever instead.
But potato top.
Yeah.
Is that how you get your veggies in?
I have been eating a few potato tops lately, actually. But I mean, if I'm not growing it, I don't kind of eat as many greens. And I wonder how many other people like that. It's just me, thinking. I don't know. Yeah.
And I think this is a little bit of a segue. I used to do all the gardening, and Andy did a lot of the cooking in our household. And what would happen was he would buy stuff that I'd already grown.
Right.
So unless I'd harvested it and put it in the fridge in front of him. So I think there is that connection too, just on a personal level, but even just with people that are growing. If they don't know what, it's all good and well to say, hey, look, this is amazing. I've grown heaps and heaps of, I don't know, silver beet, and I'm going to give it in one of those koha boxes around town for other people too.
Yaraha stands, yeah.
But if people actually don't know how to cook with that, like if you leave sorrel in there or you leave some kohlrabi or whatever, and people actually don't know, oh, what do I do with this, you know, or fennel, for instance, how do I cook this?
Mm.
I think that is probably some of the best stuff I've learned personally, and what it teaches children as well, is how to cook with some of these vegetables that people don't maybe often associate with, but are grown really easily in New Zealand gardens. And so it's about going, how can I cook and eat seasonally from my garden? And that actually takes a little bit of creativity.
Yes.
And it takes a little bit of nous. It doesn't just happen naturally. It's kind of easy to just go and buy broccoli from the supermarket and not really think about it. But if you're actually eating seasonally from your garden, you are going to have to diversify what you eat, and you are going to have to think about preserving what, you know, and how do you keep that stuff fresh and,
What does one do with Jerusalem artichokes, Kate?
I like them on pizza. That's my favourite.
So you just slice them up nice and thin, because the guy who's living at the place I was at planted heaps of Jerusalem, I think he was a vegetarian or whatever, and like, there's heaps and heaps of
Jerusalem artichokes. They keep perennials, obviously, and they keep coming back. So there's always a few of those around, and I'm looking at them exactly like you're talking about. Like, well, you know, what am I supposed to do with these?
Yeah, I like them on crackers too. Just in a, like, you can preserve
them. Well, just like raw, slice them up or whatever.
Yeah, I'm not the most amazing cook, just so you know. I'm learning. I'd call myself a learning cook.
Yeah.
And I think being part of Garden to Table's definitely helped me, but I'd want to go and see one of the recipes. Give me a few seconds to quickly just pull up a recipe.
Look up a recipe. Yeah. Well, maybe I should actually do that myself instead of just, stop being lazy about it. But yeah, all right. That's interesting. So you obviously enjoy it. You seem like pumped about it.
Well, I just think it's really important. It is really important. I just think it's really important. And the thing is, I see what I notice is that the children really love it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's the favorite. Like, we've done surveys. We do a survey every year from principals, and we have over 300 and I don't know how many schools we have as part of Garden to Table now.
Mm.
And they do a survey every year, and it comes back with overwhelmingly, this is the best part of the school week. And I saw it myself running the Garden to Table program with my own students. Hands down, it was the best part of the week. And I'm going to be honest, I didn't run the program perfectly when I was the lead teacher.
Mm.
We had a huge amount of students. We had 60 students. We had 30 in the garden and 30 in the kitchen.
Yeah,
which is a massive amount, but we just did it really basically. But it was definitely the best part of their week, and they would just run over and be like, "Oh, what are we doing this week?" Do you know what I mean? Like, not often you get students running into your classroom going, "Can we do some maths? Can we?" Maybe you've got them doing that, and hats off to any teacher that's got students running in, excited about all that stuff. But I think that's probably two of the things. I think it's important that we learn how to grow our own food, and it's healthier for us and the planet.
Yeah,
cutting down, like, if you talk about everyday environmentalism, you're not doing all those food miles. You're doing it locally.
It's becoming more and more important, I think. Locally grown stuff,
and you're learning about soil health, and you're learning about all the stuff that lives below the soil, and helping. You know, and so it's a question. You know, carbon dioxide and all that stuff that you're doing just in your own backyard. So I guess in a small way, all of us can be farmers, so to speak.
For sure.
Mm. But also just because the kids love it.
Yeah.
And who doesn't love eating food at school?
Yeah.
You know, like, you get to eat muffins, and you get to eat gosleme, and you get to eat... You know, that I know a school.
Never even bloody heard of gosleme. What's that?
Oh, it's quite easy, actually. It's just it's like a bready sort of wrap, and then you put like spinach and feta or whatever in it.
Okay.
But I went out to Orny Fiddle, and they grew amazing kale, and she just made kale chips with her kids, and she just said they absolutely loved it.
I have done that before with kale. Yeah, they're tasty. You just chuck them together, easy.
Yeah.
A bit of salt or oil, I think. I'll put on it. I can't remember. Yeah, okay. Mm. Interesting.
So.
All right. Well, we better wrap it up because Prince Harry's going to be coming and doing a show soon. I've got to do the editing and stuff like that. Yes, Prince Harry. You ain't listened to the radio, Kate? You haven't heard Prince Harry's show? Does a shout-out show.
Okay.
He's coming in soon anyway, so we better wrap it up. But thank you very much for coming in, Kate. Really appreciate it.
No problem.
And to get a hold of Gardening to Table, perhaps someone from the Raglan Area School is listening, thinking, I must have a chat to Kate about doing some stuff up here. How do they actually go about that one, Kate?
Talk to someone that probably knows me, but if you just look up gardentotable.org.nz, it has my details on it. You can ring the phone number, you can send an email, whatever, and I will get in touch with you. Or just tap me on the shoulder if you see me around town and say, hey, look, that sounded cool. How can I get in my school into it? And I'll have a chat.
Yes. And that fabulous list of gardening to-do things you read out before, you can get that on the website as well.
That is our gardening calendar. That's the Garden to Table. That's the best resource, I think. That's my personal opinion. The best resource that Garden to Table has put out.
Yeah.
You do have to be a Garden to Table member. Unfortunately, we don't have government funding. We're still a trust. We're a charitable trust. Yeah. So anyone
it's
out
probably
there,
a good thing, because then you don't have to do, you know, dance to whatever the government says as well.
Yep. Yeah. But anyone wants to donate, feel free. Put it in your will. Garden to Table. So that's one of those amazing, that's just one of the many resources that Garden to Table offers, the member school. So we have hundreds of resources and all sorts of how-tos with gardening and this amazing calendar.
If you remember.
which, yeah, if you're a member, which isn't too expensive.
Do you know off the top of your head how much membership is? Or?
Yeah, so if you've got a school that's over 100, say, like 50 plus, it's $200 for the first year and $99 every year after that.
Well, sounds all right.
Yeah, and then if you're a small rural school, like 50 or below, it's like $100 for the first year and $50 every year after that. So it's not... it's not stupidly expensive.
And if you're an individual like me, you might want to look at your gardening calendar or whatever. How does that one work? You
know? I don't know. I'd have to...
have to suss it out.
Yeah, I'd have to ask.
Because, it's quite difficult finding good gardening calendars.
I know, and there's there's so many resources we've got.
Yeah,
I know you're probably not interested in the curriculum resources, but you'd be interested in the gardening. And maybe some of those recipes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right, well, thanks again, Kate. Really appreciate coming in. And, we better wrap it up. And thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. And... this is the Over the Fence Show, and we're back again, all going well, next week. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your week. Enjoy the long weekend. And, of course, yes, the Raglan Arts Weekend, of course, is this weekend. So go and check out a bit of stuff around. And, yes, Aaron's not going to be in the rest of the week because he's not feeling so well. But Rodrigo will be in from 9 o'clock tomorrow, and I'll be back in on Friday to do a few interviews with various artists. And so Rodrigo. So take it easy, folks. Enjoy yourselves. And mi haere aho. As Fire Ruhi would say, I've got to go. Cheers for listening, and thanks again, Kate. All right. Ka kite. Just trying to find the mouse here, ladies. There we go. All right, thanks for listening, folks.